Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live on The Fan. It's April 11th, 2024. The Caps are playing a massive game tonight, trying to get into the playoffs. James Wood just belted a home run in the minor leagues. He's been one of the great hitters in the minors so far this year, off one of the best lefties. As far as prospects go below the big leagues, he's off to a great start. It's a good day for DC Sports. What's up, Danny?
GP, let's say, hypothetically speaking, I'm a Capitals fan, and I know I love the main telecast of the Washington Capitals. Give me some Joe B and Locker all day and twice on Sunday, please, and thank you. We are blessed and privileged to have them in this marketplace. Let's say I was in the mood for something different, right? I eat pizza a lot. I love pizza. No one's besmirching the pizza. Let's say I wanted, like, Greek food. Let's say I wanted something a little bit different for my dinner tonight, a different way to watch the Capitals. Do you have anything like that for me?
I'm just looking. Hold on. Let me look through my notes.
See if you can find something
here.
Is there anything like that?
An alternate way to watch?
That's a way to describe it. I mean, I don't know that I would say it that way. I get, but yeah, a slightly different way to watch. I want to consume it, but I want to consume it in a, let's say an alternative way or an alt way.
Oh, I think I have an idea.
What do you got?
Watch the Altcast tonight on Monumental 2. Myself, Carl Alsner, is going to join us in our 6 o'clock hour before the game tonight. And Brent Johnson, longtime National Hockey League goalie, notably here in D.C. and in Pittsburgh with the Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be breaking down the game. And what better way to do it than with effectively the playoffs on the line tonight for the Capitals. They could potentially lose, get a little help, win their final three, and still get in with 6 points down the stretch. But it really feels like this is a playoff game. This is maybe not an elimination game, but a game if they don't win, they will very likely not make the postseason. It's not a team they play well for whatever reason. Buffalo just got eliminated from playoff contention in their last game on Tuesday night in a loss. They have gone 13 years, Danny. The longest drought right now. 13 years without making the playoffs.
That's
over
wild.
Those 13 years, they have the worst point percentage in the National Hockey League, believe it or not. But they give the Caps fits. They've got speed. They're young. Their top two lines are very skilled, and they score a lot of goals, and they just beat the Caps 6-2 in Buffalo 9 days ago. So Washington's got to answer the bell here, find a way to get a win, and keep its hopes alive. If they win tonight, I think they would be back over the 50% threshold of likeliness to get into the playoffs for the first time in about a week.
I mean, to me, we've talked about this a bunch as it pertains to the Capitals. Like, I'd rather get in than not. I'm not saying anything differently, but it won't feel, I don't know what the word is, whether it's genuine or as meaningful or whatever, if they back in. Like, if they're a truck doing a K-turn in an alleyway trying to make a delivery here, and it's because Philly lost and Pittsburgh lost and everyone ahead of them kind of crumbled and Detroit can't get right, et cetera. And they, you know, have 3 points on their last 10 games played. Okay, I'd rather be in than not, give the kids the experience. To me, nothing else matters unless they play well. Like, I want them to play well. I want them to seize this moment, this opportunity that they frankly earned, not with this last 7 games. I'm not talking about that. The previous run, when they went 8-3, when they won 6 out of 7 to kind of get off the mat and get themselves into this conversation, that they earned that by punching above their weight class, by doing things they weren't supposed to be able to do. And whether they were supposed to or not, they did it, and they're here. I want the kids to get that experience of rising up to that opportunity, right? I mean, this is as clutch as you could possibly make it, right? These are win or go home, all, you know, kind of with an asterisk. It's not really. It's not a game 7, but it's close, right? I want the meaningful experiences for the young players. I just want more OV goals. I just want to see the positive steps to get a good vibe heading into the postseason where if Charlie Lindgren's hot, you never know.
I'm a numbers guy. You know this about me?
I do know that.
I like to quantify things with numerical and statistical evidence. And so I want to back up what I just said about the import of this game. I just looked it up on one of the analytics sites, moneypuck.com. So the Capitals right now have a 43% chance to make the playoffs. If they win in regulation tonight, and really it's not a whole lot different if they win in regulation or in overtime, but if they win tonight, their chances of making the playoffs go up to over 60%. 63%.
Yeah, there you go.
If they lose tonight, ipso facto, plus 20% with a win, minus 20% with a loss, they're now down to about 26% as a chance to get into the playoffs. So don't think I am overrating this or me and Danny are over-talking about this today when we say season-defining matchup tonight in Buffalo against the Sabres. You win, you're probably going to make the playoffs. You lose, you're probably not going to. There are 4 games to go. This is the penultimate road game. It's against a team that has given them problems. Should be very, very compelling. But that is why, to Danny's point, I'm broadcasting right now at Monumental Sports over at Capital One Arena North. I'm basically next door to a vacant arena this evening from a Capitals standpoint. And no Wizards this evening here at home. So it's quiet over here in the neighborhood. I was walking around just before the show over here by Cap One Arena. It's amazing how little is going on. I'm never here when there's not a game.
I know.
It was just me and nobody else pretty much, just wandering the streets.
The wife and I lived there for a few years. Not like at Cap One Arena, but like in that neighborhood right around there for a while.
Wouldn't it be funny if you lived inside Cap One Arena?
What section do you live in? Section 106, 107. No, but we lived over there, and it was – those are our favorite nights, right, where – I mean, obviously, it was always cool to be able to go to a game, like whip over to a Georgetown game, Wizards that I had, you know, partial season tickets for, Caps games, etc. But it was always kind of cooler to go to those pregame spots when it wasn't jam-packed with dudes in Capitals jerseys. You know what I mean? Like it was kind of a neat place to be. And you're right. It was like, what do I feel like eating? I have so many options because it's there to cater to the game day crowd, and there's no game day crowd.
I mentioned James Wood hit a home run right before we went on the air. I'd just seen, as I was preparing to crack the mic here, that he went deep, so I'd mention that. But do you know what he did last night, Danny? He hit a ball 115.3 mile per hour with exit velocity.
So was he using one of the very modern and excellent aluminum bats that does that kind of velo?
Seriously, what do you think the exit velocity would have been with metal?
130? Like, not even doing shtick? Like,
yeah.
That's probably about the difference.
There's probably someone out there who goes, who cares what his exit velocity was? Well,
Karen,
I care.
Care
and
so
a lot
hard.
Of people care. Here's why people care, by the way. What he did last night, the hardest hit ball in the minor leagues this year, the hardest hit ball, if you were to do it in the major leagues, by a Washington National since Juan Soto hit a ball 116 back in 2021. Nobody hit a ball 113 for the Nationals last season. He hit a ball 115.3. There are, I would say, fewer than 10 people on the planet who are able to hit a baseball that hard. And what does that mean? Well, it's a skill. It's a trait. It's a, you know, if you were to be an analytically run organization and you put together a database for, you know, spit out all the guys who have had exit velocities over 115 ever, it's like 13 guys or, you know, whatever the number is. But it's Shohei and it's Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and James Wood's on that list. You know, it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. These are the who's who sluggers in the sport. And he did that last night. But he's now going into today with his first home run of the season, was hitting .380, 11 for 29, more walks than strikeouts, getting on base over half the time, and just absolutely killing AAA as a 21-year-old. It's not going to be long before he's making that debut at Nats Park, my friend.
Yeah, this is not just boom or bust power guy, you know, that'll be fun to see when he hits some home runs. I think people aren't quite understanding what's going on here. This is a full and complete baseball player that's going to do all the things, right? He'll hit some bombs. You don't hit a ball 115 miles an hour and not occasionally create some backspin and have that SOB go into a lake somewhere, right? That's happening. But it's the walking more than he's striking out. It's using the entire field. It's, oh, yeah, by the way, he's as fast as anybody in the show at this point. This is something special, I think, and I cannot wait. It's a matter of weeks now.
It feels like it. I mean, it feels like it should be days, but you're probably right on weeks at this point for James Wood. By the way, there's a clip circulating today of him making a really nice diving catch in left center field. He's playing center field as a 6'7" outfielder.
That's normal, by the way, I'm sure.
And he made an outrageous catch on a ball that was nowhere near him at the point of contact. And that is making the rounds more than his prodigious home run today. So we got one, ladies and gentlemen. The Nationals and the Juan Soto deal looks like they got a bit of a unicorn here, and it will only be a matter of time before we see him at Nationals Park. Very, very fired up about that. Before we leave baseball to get to the Commanders, if you were to have $16 million taken from you, Danny, would you notice?
Yep.
You would.
I would. I'm the kind of guy that
can
would
I write
notice.
That down? Hold on real quick. Danny would notice. Did you see this story?
I certainly did.
That Ipe, the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, his buddy and interpreter, is being accused by feds of stealing $16 million from Shohei, and he didn't even notice.
Well, first of all, it must be nice. I'm the kind of person, and you would make fun of me for this, by the way. Like if we were just two filthy rich buddies that are like taking our PJs everywhere, you know, it's like, I'll meet you with my private jet on your island. No, meet me with my private jet on your island. Whatever.
That's how you know I'm not a rich buddy, by the way, is when you said PJs, I'm like, why are we packing our pajamas and going somewhere?
We're just in our PJs. Listen, I would always know how much money I have at all times. There would never be a second that would
be
go
honest,
by.
If your wife spends like $23 tomorrow on something,
I'm going to know.
Do you notice before bedtime?
Yes. Now, I'm not saying anything. I know better than to do that. Then, like, I'm not going to question it, but I know. I need to be made aware. I need to know at all times. Head on a swivel. All I ask is to not be surprised. And I think we've come to a pretty good accord in that regard, right? Where I just don't want to do the thing where I go, hey, what is this $481 on something? If there's something like that, if it's beyond like the usual, I spent $5 at the commissary or the $5 at the little, to get a Twix bar out here at our little market, right? If it's beyond the normal kind of small daily spending, we notify each other. There's a conversation, and that's all I ask. I just need to know. Not that no one's going to do anything about it. There's no anger. There's no backlash. There's no SummerSlam. None of that stuff. We need the information. We need to know. And I would always know. So if you stole $16 million from me, I would figure that out pretty quick.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Jay Gruden, former head coach of the then Redskins, is going to be on the show today at 3 o'clock because we want him to break down all the quarterbacks in this class for us. He's done a lot of detailed film study on the QBs, former NFL coach, former coordinator. Want to hear what he thinks about each of them. We'll go through his assessments on all the top QBs. Back to Shohei. Do you think that he didn't know that his interpreter had taken $16 million from him, allegedly, because he's got so much money? Or do you think he doesn't deal with it? Like, he's not on his app looking at his money because he's got people doing that for him. Maybe even the interpreter. I mean, he did a lot, it sounds like, of the like chores and little errands and things for Shohei. I guess it's possible you get entrusted to help him financially or, hey, I'll send the money over to this person. I'll get this into your account for you. And then you're pulling the strings, allegedly. I don't know. But I'm just trying to wrap my head around not knowing that someone had taken $16 million from me, because I have to be able to believe that to then get to the point where I feel like Shohei is the victim here and there's not a second story that everyone should be digging into.
So this is going to sound bad. I don't mean it to at all. Like, you might be able to do that to my wife. In other words, she doesn't want to deal. Like, she's like, I don't like it. You deal with it. And it's good that we're matched that way. Like, I like dealing with financial stuff, right? I like dealing with, this is where, you know, we have a little bit of savings, so we'll invest it here, or we're doing this, or we're going to do this with our 401ks, or I like that kind of stuff. She does not want to deal with it. So if she was a multimillionaire, however many times over, like Shohei is, I guarantee she'd have somebody doing it for her. Does that make sense? And Shohei may very well be someone like that, who's like, obviously I'd like to earn the money. That's awesome. I can't be bothered. I cannot fill my head with that, the as Matthew McConaughey said in the Wolf of Wall Street, that like above the neck mustard, you know, like that whatever stuff up there. I don't want to deal with any of that. I'll give it to somebody else and they'll take care of it and make my 1 million turn into 1.3 million after 5 years. They'll do it and that's fine. That's the path for something like this, right? Where I got to worry about hitting a baseball, dude, and then throwing it at 100 miles an hour and working on my sweeper and my spin rate and my tilt and all that other kind of stuff. I'm too busy being the best baseball player of all time to worry about that crap. That's the path for me. But I don't know, man. The whole story is wild, and I don't know what I believe yet. I know what the affidavit says. I read the article, too. I still don't know what I really think.
Well, I also wonder, like, it's not like he's got the money in his checking account.
Mm-hmm.
So the same account that he takes his debit card when he runs over to the grocery store to get some ice cream because he and the new wife want to watch their favorite Netflix show on an off night to eat some ice cream, and all of a sudden the account is from $17 million down to $1 million. Like, I don't think that's what we're talking about. My guess is, like most people, he's got his checking account, savings account, whatever it is, and then he's got money somewhere. And that's the money he's not constantly looking at, although the bit on the junkies, I guess, is that Cakes is looking at his accounts every morning, right, or whatever that is. And I'm the same kind of guy. I just always want to know exactly what I've got where. But maybe he's one of those guys where, out of sight, out of mind, mm-hmm. I've got an account. In his case, it's a lot bigger than your account or my account.
There's some more commas in it.
But he's got it working for him in markets, and maybe that's where the money came from. So I'm just trying to get to the bottom of how it's possible to not know that. But I think you see this sometimes with celebrities, with athletes, and it's oftentimes the person that's really close to them, that they trust, that handles a lot of their business, so to speak. And that is certainly the allegation here with his interpreter and supposedly one of his best friends.
Yeah, it's like if E stole from Vince on Entourage. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like it's to that level, right? Again, according to the affidavit, as I'm kind of reading this article and figuring it out, this is all alleged, whatever I'm supposed to say. But when you give somebody that kind of access, right, you always hear about the negative stories. You never hear about, yep, and everything was fine, and the investments were good, and we lived happily ever after, which I'm sure happens probably more often than not. You hear about these kinds of horror stories where, you know, whether it's siphoning off slowly but surely, whether it's big chunks that end up missing from multiple accounts, it is crazy to think that $16 million were taken without Shohei's knowledge until like the very end. You know what I mean? Like, that's, again, according to the affidavit from the FBI, that it's $16 million over several years to pay off an illegal gambler, which there's so much about it that is so crazy. But that may be the craziest part, by the way, is if it really is this dude, right, who's Shohei's buddy.
Well, mind you, it's in Shohei's name in some cases.
And that's the key. But an illegal bookmaker just going, sure, put more bets in. I'm sure you're good for it. Like, at $9 million, at $11 million, at $11.6 million. Like, there's no like, hey, are you gonna pay me? You know what I mean? Like, it just seems wild to me, man.
Yeah, there's a lot about this story, I think, that needs to continue to be dug into. And it's going to take time. You know, yesterday, there was a lot of shtick still about, funny how there's been no charges. Well, these things don't happen overnight. So now the feds have come forward, and this is the accusation, and the charges could be coming. And I think it's we're all trying to figure this out. And it's going to take several weeks, maybe a couple months. And you know that the reporters in L.A. are digging as deep into this with shovels as they can mm-hmm. right now to try to get to the bottom of exactly what's going on. But that is a staggering sticker shock number today to see $16 million allegedly taken from Ohtani, and he found out basically when the rest of us did somehow. Next week, we told you yesterday, Jaden Daniels is visiting the Commanders Monday and Tuesday. Well, he's going to leave, and Drake May is going to come to Ashburn on Tuesday into Wednesday, the final days that you can visit with players ahead of the draft. Let's talk about the timing of those visits. And also the two biggest meetings in D.C. sports next week as it pertains to the future of the Commanders. You're listening to The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. You are listening to The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight. No Nats baseball, so a feature-length, four-and-a-half-hour program for you. A show sponsored, as always, by our friends Condori and Murad. Kick off your future with their law firm. They are the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. The Commanders will be very busy with their speed dating of quarterbacks next week. So according to Jordan Schultz, J.J. McCarthy is going to be in for a meeting as well. That could be Sunday into Monday, I guess. Jaden Daniels, Monday into Tuesday, and then Drake May, Tuesday into Wednesday, which is the deadline for those meetings in your facility ahead of the draft, which is 2 weeks from today. But I can't help but picture a visual, Danny, where one's walking in the building as the other's walking out.
Like a weird stare down as they walk past each other between the double doors.
What a strange thing, right? Where, like, yeah, someone's leaving your apartment and someone else is coming, but they're not supposed to see each other, you know?
Well, I've gone through similar things. Obviously, well, let me rephrase that. I haven't.
That was bad timing for that.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I've never been auditioning for an NFL quarterback, but I've gone to auditions before, right? Like back in the day, trying to get parts and stuff, and you see the same people all the time, and like, you're walking out, and it's like, oh, hey, the guy that always gets it, and I don't get it. Thank God you're here. You know, like those kind of awkward bits. Like, so those are great, but it's not exactly the same as being a franchise quarterback. I kind of overstepped. I overshot there with my initial, hey, this is similar. It's not.
Well, I'm wondering, with three guys in what is effectively going to be 3 days, and with each of the meetings, at least from what I've heard with the Daniels and Drake May meetings, they're carryovers, right? So, like, you'll talk to them all day, you go to dinner, and then you finish up the next day. The math doesn't work for them not to be in the building potentially at the same time. Is it possible that Drake May is sitting in with Kingsbury for his couple hours with the OC, and then Johnson and Tavita Pritchard, while Jaden Daniels is down the hall with Adam Peters, and it's like hockey line style? You know, one leaves the room, goes and talks to someone else, and they're just following each other room by room. Is that a thing? I would have thought everyone's involved, meaning all the coaches at one boardroom table with each given quarterback who has their own day. But if the reporting's correct and they're going to crowbar in McCarthy, Daniels, and May, and the reporting that says it's going to be 1+ days for at least two of those guys, I don't know how you do that without at some point them sitting separated by some walls interviewing for the same job.
Hey, maybe you want that. Maybe you want to see how they handle it. I mean, who knows? These kinds of things are always so funny. Like, you're trying to figure out who you're going to invest years and millions in, and, you know, it's this sort of very inexact way to do it. You know, like any kind of audition or any kind of process that that involves this with such a low hit rate. But yeah, who knows logistically, but it is kind of funny to think about. It's very situational comedy, right? Where they're both parked in Ashburn at the same time, and you know, one's walking down the hall, and it's like, I think that's J.J. McCarthy. Like, as I'm going to a completely different room to meet somebody else, you know?
Three meetings, 3 days that'll define the fate of the first couple of years
no
of the
deal.
Peters era in so many ways. I mean, you just cannot have a more significant and important decision to kick off your regime than who you're taking at quarterback with the number two pick. And a lot of times, it's nerve-wracking enough and problematic enough a decision, and there's so much on the line, you might just kick the can down the road and say, well, roster build. I mean, frankly, that's what Rivera did. Now, it was a different scenario altogether because Dwayne Haskins was here, and even though, tragically, the late Dwayne Haskins at the time had struggled immensely, the owner liked him and wanted him, and so maybe Rivera felt like he had to give it a college try with Haskins. And so it's not quite apples to apples, but he had a chance at number two to say, no, we're taking a quarterback. I got a new GM, new head coach, new fresh set of eyes, a new way of doing business here, and we're starting with a QB. He elected not to. It seems like Peters is taking this square on, and he's going to sink or swim with his first pick in the minds of a lot of fans probably. He's not going to waste any time. They're going to go QB.
Yeah, it does seem that way. That's where all the momentum is. Now, I will say, because they've played everything so close to the vest, to their credit, by the way, this is a philosophy that doesn't seem – they haven't bent so far on this. They've only released things when it needed to happen. I don't have a better way to phrase it than that. When all the momentum and all the public buzz was going in one direction, and it might be viewed as a letdown if they didn't sort of cushion the blow, and that's with the kind of the coaching search, how that went. But there may be momentum right now for a trade back. There may be. There may be tons of momentum. Maybe they've already talked to Minnesota, or maybe they've already got a deal in place with some of these other teams, and they're having a bidding war, and they're just fine. I'm making this up. They're just fine with, you know, Michael Penix at 11, or they think they can maneuver around and have a net profit in terms of picks this year and in succeeding years to be at 8 or 9 and end up with Penix or something to that effect. They like him, and then they want to be able to do the thing that you mentioned, roster build, and have all the assets in the world to go make the best possible team with a younger veteran quarterback, a guy like Michael Penix that has been in college for so long and is, you know, a little bit older and maybe more mature than some others. I have no idea, but it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world for them to maneuver around like that. But it does seem like all signs that we know of, and we're kind of reading between the lines, points to one of these three guys, right? And really, we think it's between the two, but I wouldn't dismiss McCarthy, them ending up with McCarthy somehow.
Who, I'd be surprised at this point. The idea of McCarthy isn't as stunning, though, as the idea of trading back, if that makes sense. I just can't see them going backwards. I get the merits, and I understand why it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It just feels to me like they're doing all their due diligence on May and Daniels because they know they're choosing between those two paths. And maybe they stun everybody. I actually texted Kevin Sheehan this the other day. We were having a conversation, and I said, you know, if they take Drake May, I think the story, other than just they've got a new quarterback, that they chose May over Daniels, whatever, to me, my big takeaway is going to be we'll never know what Adam Peters is thinking. They keep the best secret. Nobody is leaking anything in this organization. Nobody knows anything. And I think moving forward, it happened with the head coaching situation.
Yep.
Lest we forget the Ben Johnson rumors and thoughts and people like me who were sold it was going to be Ben Johnson. And then it will have happened again at quarterback where everyone from Schefter to whatever insider you're hearing from right now is suggesting, speculating, reporting that they think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. If it's not, that will actually be my biggest takeaway after the initial reaction to the
pick. Oh, interesting, yeah.
Is that nobody keeps a better secret. Nobody's got a better poker face. Nobody's cards are closer to their chest than Adam Peters.
Yeah, we'll be 2 for 2 on secrecy. Right, or misdirection, or whatever you want to call
it. Which, by the way, is the antithesis of how this place was run forever. Who was worse at keeping secrets than Washington? They were the clear page on the, projector machine in your fourth grade class. Like the transparency, they couldn't fool anybody ever. Everything gets out. And it has kind of been the opposite since Peters took over and since this new regime started.
A, 100% agree. But B, and they were always more concerned, thinking about Bruce and Dan and that ilk, always more concerned with who leaked it than the incorrect decision that was being leaked, right? Because what was always happening, in my view, and this is overly simplified because there were certainly some correct decisions or good ones over the years, but usually what would happen is terrible process, bad idea, right? Somebody going, I don't want to be associated with this idea, or I need people to know that this wasn't me. You know what I mean? Like, because I have to work again. I have to be able to explain this in future interviews that I wasn't the one who selected this person or thought this free agent was good or didn't want to re-sign this guy or wanted to get in a pissing contest with Trent Williams or whatever. So the leakouts were happening because they needed to cover their butts for so many years. Like, I just want you to know that there's an incompetent person and it rhymes with Schmoo Schmallin or Flam Flyder. You know, it ain't me. I don't get the sense that that's the way it is now because I do really believe there is organizational competence. And whether they make the right decision or not, it's going to be much easier, at least for me, maybe not a lot of fans, and I respect it, but it'll be easier for me to live with if they, quote-unquote, end up with the wrong guy. Right? Let's say, for the sake of argument, I love Jaden Daniels. Let's say they take Daniels and he's not good. I can live with that because the process made sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't my son's friend, or this wasn't, like, you know, some yacht pick or some kind of thing with it where Vinny and Dan took Redskins one somewhere to almost take Jimmy Clausen in the first round. Like, this is a sensible process with good football people. You're going to swing and miss a bleep ton. I can live with it, you know?
There's been a lot of speculation and a lot said about this process and this number two pick that I think is silly and ridiculous. And I'm not sitting here throwing stones as if we're not in a glass house and that we are also analyzing and delving into this every which way we can for months on end. It's the biggest story on the biggest team in town, and we're on the air for more than anybody else, you know, in the city at this point. So we've certainly had our fair share of conversations and looked into, what do we think this means? And does that bird landing on that limb mean it's going to be Drake May? I mean, there's been a lot of stupid conversations. Hopefully we've avoided most of them for you guys as best we could. But I think, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with me on this, I'm not judging, but I think the one that has been the most ridiculous to me is the now conversation, which is, what does the timing of the meetings mean as to who they like and who they don't like? You know, the fact that it's Daniels first and then May comes in last right before the draft is the last guy they can talk to. There are people who think that when they get there and the order with which they're talking to these players is significant. I couldn't disagree with that more. I think that that is so foolish. I mean, these guys are scheduling seven, what do you think, four, five, six, eight meetings potentially, some of them, around the country and working the schedule out and ironing out all the details with all the different teams. And you've got a bunch of moving parts in your own building trying to get scouts and people, you know, in and out of pro days and going and visiting and talking around the country and making sure that they're in the facility. So the idea that based on one guy meeting on Monday or Tuesday and the next one doesn't come in until Tuesday into Wednesday, in either direction, you know, that means anything, I just find that to be so outrageous. But we're at a point where, and I'm not judging anybody, we're all doing it to some extent.
I am a little bit, by the way.
But everything has to be a thing. When the fact is, almost nothing's probably a thing right now. You know, there's very little things. They might have made up their mind 4 weeks ago, and this is all a big dog and pony show.
Yeah, in the midst of lying season, we're looking for, you know, as you said, the clues, and this was the journal that somebody had as a fourth grader, or this was their science project, and that's their password. We have no idea. Nobody knows anything. But we're so starving for it, for that content, that you're right. Everyone's kind of looking for meaning when there's nothing there. You know, this is the English class where I'm going, I think the tree symbolizes this. It's like, nah, man, it's just a tree this time. Like, there's nothing here. But it feels, though, for people that are sort of looking for it, this couldn't be less of a thing in terms of scheduling. It's literally a scheduling thing. Like, can someone get a flight from their previous visit to this place and at a certain time? It's like professional schedulers from the agencies and stuff are working in coordination with the teams that set up these visits. It has nothing to do with order of preference or otherwise. This is not a dating show.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Jay Gruden's joining us in 20 minutes. He's been studying the film on all of the college quarterbacks coming out, especially the big six at the top of the board. So we'll dive in detail into each of those prospects with him right at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. With Drake May coming to Ashburn next week, what do you want the Commanders to drill down on? We asked this question about Jaden Daniels yesterday. Now we know May's meetings are taking place early next week as well. What should they ask him and really prioritize in their session getting to know Drake May? That's next on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Jay Gruden, top of the hour on the quarterback class that will be drafted in 2 weeks from today, Thursday night, round one, NFL draft from Detroit. We're Grant and Danny, you are listening to The Fan. Danny, you know who I've got on as a guest on the Altcast for the Cap Sabres tonight on Monumental?
No, I do not.
So basically the idea is we want to get people on who might be interesting for our listening audience, ideally that are related to the Caps, care about the Caps or hockey, I would say is the prerequisite. But it doesn't have to be like a hockey mark. So we've got Al Kokin on from the Frozen Four, where one of the Caps' top prospects is shining and playing. We got Ole Kolzig joining us, the former great goalie. But Adam Eaton is going to join us.
That's awesome.
Adam Eaton, who's a big hockey guy, hockey fan, loves puck, and a World Series hero. He's coming back next week. Next weekend when the Nats are hosting the Astros, they're doing their five-year World Series anniversary celebration and giving out the replica World Series rings. But hit Eaton up. He's going to come on with us to talk some hockey. He's a huge, huge puck head and Caps fan after getting to know all those guys during the two championship runs in back-to-back years.
And I do believe he returned the favor on drinking a beer through his shirt, but in the Caps locker room. I think I've got that right.
I think you're right about that.
That is, again, that's not something I can do. TJ Oshie has done it, so I know he can do it. And Adam Eaton did it, so I know he can do it.
What's the number one question you'd want to drill down on with Drake May if you were sitting in on those meetings with him this coming week?
I want to know about the misses. I want to know about those times. Were you bored? Did your mechanics suffer? Where what factors led to some of these missed throws? Was it because you didn't have faith in your receivers? Was it because you got hit too many times? What was going on? Some of these inconsistencies, maybe especially against good opponents, where you're not just missing by a hair or the timing wasn't off. It looked like you were throwing to somebody that wasn't there. It looked like you're throwing to a ghost. The down moments for him, I would want to understand. How did we get there, and are they fixable? I would argue they are, by the way. I think he's going to be really good in the pros once he gets pro coaching and into a good system. But I'd want to know. I'd want some security there. Some of those, whether it's inconsistent feet, whether it's some of the mechanical things that people smarter than me have kind of pointed out at times where he kind of loses his good mechanics. I'd want to know about those low moments of inconsistency and why.
Yeah, I think we're thinking very similarly here. Remember yesterday we talked about this exact topic with Jaden Daniels and what do you want to get to the bottom of? And I hit on his flaws, right? I want to talk to him about why we took this sack and didn't get rid of the football and why didn't we throw to the middle of the field, some of the precursors for issues. I think with May, the consistency of his accuracy has been taken to task by the people who aren't as bullish on him. I want to talk about that. Some of the mechanical sloppiness and like those stretches in games that our buddy Logan Paulson has talked about on this show where for whatever reason, there's a drive where a couple of throws in a row are off and he'll be locked in before that and locked in after that. He'll look like the real deal and an elite QB prospect. But then he just has those drives and those bouts with inconsistencies. Why? Where did those come from? What leads to those? What are we going to do to clean up some of the technical, mechanical stuff? Later in the show, we can play the clip from Chris Sims, which I think you were kind of alluding to some of the things that he said as to why he does not like Drake May as a prospect. He's got him sixth out of the six quarterbacks at the top of his board, which I think's ludicrous.
I think it's way too low.
But it's his list, not mine, and he's smarter than I am, so what can I do about it? But the one thing he pointed out when they said, why don't you like Drake May? He said a lot of words, and you'll hear the audio later, but he basically said mechanics over and over again. Well, I think that kind of stuff can be cleaned up. Like, I care way less about the mechanics, which is coachable, fixable, than do you have the athleticism, the arm strength, the traits, the tools, the physical attributes. But I do think that's what I would want to drill down on is, how did we get here and why is it so inconsistent?
And that to me is, I mean, everybody's got a wrinkle, right? All these guys, there's no perfect prospect, especially guys that have been at the forefront of the draft for years. Like Caleb Williams has been the number one guy for a couple of years. So what's going to happen? They're going to try to pick you apart and figure out something wrong with you. Same with Trevor Lawrence since his freshman year at Clemson and so on and so forth. We've seen that before. So there's nobody that's perfect. Everybody's got something that isn't great. Again, this isn't to say that Drake May is anything other than a guy that's going to go second or third. Like, we're not talking about some disaster, some undraftable goon here. But that's my question. And it's the only reason I've got Daniels slightly ahead of him on the old Randy Duhier board, which matters about as much as the lint in my pocket. But are those moments where I'm kind of going, you're too good for that. You know what I mean? Like, you're too skilled. You're too big and strong and fast with that cannon for an arm. And some of these throws that you pull out of your tuchus are unbelievable. Why are we missing that one? There are too many guys down on the depth chart at UNC that can make that throw that you're not making. Why can't we do those, right? It's like watching Luis Garcia punt the room service two hopper, and then he makes like a sliding bare hand play the next time. It's like, why are we kicking the routine one? That's what I want to know from him.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Jay Gruden on Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, and some of the other intriguing draft names at the top of the board. Next on G&D, right here on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.